Good evening. You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman. We are Gallatin Valley Community Radio. We're on your radio dial at 95.9 FM, and we're online at kgvm.org. And it's time now for the local musician spotlight. We're venturing out of our bunker here and getting back into the swing of having musicians in the studio at KGVM to talk about music and to play some music. And tonight, I'm happy to have Quiet Local here in the studio with me.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah. So, whatever, you can just tell us a little bit about yourself, about how you got started in music and how long it's been.
It's been a long time. I've been playing since I was a kid. Probably 14. I was at a summer camp, and I was the only kid that didn't know how to play Free Fallin'.
So, you might have dated yourself a little bit there.
My cousin Dave, he showed me basically that, and I couldn't quite get it. So he said, "All right, well, this one's easy." And the first thing I learned was "Electric Funeral" by Sabbath. And I guess it was just always more of a, when I was young, it was just more of a guitar head, gear head, and wanted to be Jimi Hendrix, I suppose. And, ended up moving to Seattle, and then met some musicians who were above where I was at, and kind of tackled the Nashville thing, doing some, more independent session work, but still going into real studios and working with real producers and real session cats. And I kind of always toyed with that on and off. And then I got married and had kids, and kind of just, it was more just picked up the guitar because it's better than antidepressants. And almost 3 years ago, we lost our son Oscar. He was stillborn on his due date, and it just kind of, it sort of cemented in me that, like, I have to do this as one, as a way of staying on the positive force side of grief, rather than being weighed down by it. And also, it was something to model to my kids that are living, that life does go on, and your dreams don't have to be put on the back burner. And so that's where Quiet Local actually came up, because in the stillbirth community, you say your children are born quiet. Mm. But he's always here with us, so he's local.
Local,
yeah. Nice. So that's the name. And then as far as, like, the sound that I'm kicking up now, is sort of comes back from I had an injury when I was fencing our property. I was just trying to power through with not sharp enough tools, because I wasn't sharp enough to get sharp tools, and I ended up doing some pretty severe nerve damage in my hands, and they just felt really numb, almost dead for about 6 months, and then they were very, like, stingy and cotton webby for about a year, and I couldn't play standard tuning because it was just, like, it just sent me off. But I could tune my guitar down real low, and the pressure was taken off. And so I ended up just creating some wacko tuning, and now I've got a decent catalog in it.
Nice. So you're over in Livingston.
Yes.
And we were talking earlier, there's quite a contingent of musicians over there, a lot of great songwriters.
There's a amazing amount of songwriters and really good musicians over there. Like, we had a before the whole COVID thing, we had a pretty solid singer-songwriter group going. Had Cleo Toll and Sean Devine and Steph Yeager and Mercedes Carroll, who's been a guest on here. And then there was, you know, then there would be some people that would show up even from out of town. Jackson Holt, he came through, and it was really a good group. It was kind of like, you can't just go into that group thinking, all right, I've got the winner song tonight, because you know, Mercedes pulls out like Gasoline, and it's like, good grief, girl.
Sean's got a catalog of all these great songs.
Sean's.
I had him on too once. I went over to his place, and we just did it in his studio back.
Fun.
And yeah, it was a blast. There's a guy who can tell stories.
Yes.
So maybe play a couple songs, then we'll chat some more.
Sure. This first one is the first one I ever put out as Quiet Local. It's called Feel Good Hit.
So bold as to grow up.
Seems like a pretty timely song, talking about the feel-good hit of the summer and all.
Yeah.
I'm not sure this summer's got a feel-good hit, but, well.
This next one is Murder of Crows.
Sometimes you wonder about the people who got to decide what the names of groups of animals are. It's like, that guy, was he having a bad day or woke up a little hungover or something? It's like, okay, crows today. Murder. Murder, yeah.
Well, I think one of the names for a group of ravens is an unkindness.
Yeah, I think that's like, wow, man, somebody's kind of down on these big birds, I guess. So I was kind of thinking when I was listening to that, how do you think that your time in Seattle had much influence on your sound, or?
I think the sound of Seattle before I got there definitely had an influence. I loved Soundgarden, but I think ever since I was really little, because copying was so frowned upon, that I guess I've always looked at influences as an eraser. It's like, if I really like something, it's off limits. But everything really around it is up for grabs. So, you know, I love like Pixies and Soundgarden and Stone Temple Pilots, and but I also liked, you know, Colin Hay and Morphine and Starflyer 59, you know, that fairly eclectic.
Yeah.
I like strong songwriting, but I'm also a sucker for shoegaze.
Yeah. You know, it's always interesting when you're listening to something, and like, I fall into this trap. It's like, oh, that sounds kind of like that. Well, not really. But so I was thinking of kind of some of the Seattle grunge sound, but then yeah. You said Morphine. It's like, oh yeah, that's kind of,
yeah, Mark Sandman.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I haven't heard really. Billy Conway is the drummer, like right up the river over the Shields Valley, I think. So
I didn't know that.
I think so. Yeah.
I would say that, like the that particular thing is kind of the culmination of that's the Seattle that, you know, this Iowa kid wanted to, like, I wanted to go make that sound there, but I didn't. you know, because it took me till I was 40 before I was really any good. but that, I think there's also a bit of that, like, New Orleans, like, swampiness. Like, I love the meters, and I like the, you know, pocket grooves, and so it's more, I think it's messier.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good mess. It's a tasty mess.
Structure.
It's kind of, yeah, it's like gumbo.
Yeah.
it's awesome, but yeah, it's not some petite plate that's all carefully arranged or anything. So,
yeah.
So you said you've got some music out on the all the platforms?
On all the platforms that I can think of. Except Bandcamp.
Bandcamp,
not
yep.
on there. But Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, Google, wherever digital music is. I've got, I think I have 7 songs out. I've got a couple more. I'm pretty much ready to go. But we also have a 6-month-old baby. And there's trying to find the life work fun balance, and I'm almost there.
Yeah,
it's ready to start cranking away on everything again.
So, did you record those songs in this area, or?
I have a little audient interface, and I have a microphone, and I've basically use my acoustic guitars, and I'll run them out of that direct and then mic them and then just kind of do multiple takes. And then I'll, you know, double up on the vocals because that's poor man's auto-tune.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do all of the tracking at my house, usually when the kids are asleep. And then I'll send them off to my buddy Justin. He's over in Scarborough in England, and he can go track him in a real studio. So the drums are like in gigantic, big studio sound, and then I can just sort of like pop the guitars onto it and then get the vocals fairly up front, and I think it sounds like we tracked it live because
yeah.
the drums are... Live,
so yeah.
What I do is I'll scratch out the song as hard to the click as I can, and then, you know, he's you know, Mr. Pocket, like he's, you know, Steve Jordan good.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What he sends back, I just dump everything that I've had and recut it to him, so that sort of gives us the...
Sounds like you're
the
playing together.
Like playing off of each other.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we were just talking, you've been obviously not playing out a lot this summer, but you got a gig coming up?
Yeah, I'm playing the Filling Station on August 14th, opening up for 3 Miles to Clyde.
Cool. That should be a fun show.
That should be a fun show.
Yeah, I think, you know, if people are thinking about going... Go get tickets, because I think there aren't very many of them.
I think they're capping it at like 40.
Yeah. I saw a post from Tyler in 3 Miles to Clyde. He's like, we're going to sell out a show. It's like, well, yeah. But yeah, I think that, you know, they're being careful and stuff, but it's great to see Ed easing back into it and doing some shows there. And I don't know. I know they've done some things at the Filler in past years outside, but it's not set up really great for that. But
well, yeah, I was under the impression this one's inside, and that's why it's
yeah, I think that's right.
Capped.
Yeah, You said you played at Pine Creek, though, this summer?
Yeah, not last month, the end of June, I got to open up with Bubba Fett, or for Bubba Fett, and that was fun. I had a lot of fun playing the stage there.
Yeah.
Basically just dimed the amp to see how loud it would get. It maybe was a little too loud. But it was fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you said with the new baby, I suppose, maybe not just been sitting around practicing and writing and stuff all the time, but...
Not nearly as often as I would like to.
Yeah.
But we went up to Flathead Lake a couple weeks ago, and that was good. I got a lot of fleeting song ideas have turned into like that's like 90% done.
Nice.
Yeah. So now I'm just kind of in the. I like that word. I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know, I tend to go for more simple lyrically, because the music's already like at the edge of my capability. And I heard something Paul Simon said when he was talking about Bridge Over Troubled Water. He was like, he thought the lyrics were like, these are silly, like these are just too simple. But he goes, what we stumbled upon was they were universal.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, you've got a far greater chance of stumbling into something universal and connecting if you keep it simple than obtuse and complex.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's I'm
not dumbing anything down by any means, but
no.
Just trying to like.
Well, yeah, I think when you get kind of obtuse like that, the first thing that seems to me like happens is people's understanding of meaning can vary a lot more. So the thing that you think you're saying might not be the thing that a lot of people are hearing. And I think if you kind of steer toward maybe more common language, there's probably a lot less likelihood of that happening. And so
yeah.
That is pretty interesting. So you said you kind of got restarted playing as sort of a kind of a cathartic thing.
Yeah, I'd never, I'd always just been like a guitar guy, like a sideman, you know, more lead than anything. And, but then you don't ever show anybody your stuff because no one wants to listen to like meandering instrumentals. And I wasn't ever into playing cover songs.
Yeah.
So I don't know, it's probably been 5 years since I started, like, I have to figure out how to write my own lyrics. And that came fairly easily, but there was like, I bet there was a 2-year disconnect between being able to hear what I'm supposed to sing and play and like actually being able to play and sing the way I hear it in my head. It took forever. It took a lot of sweaty nights in the garage. Just like I hung up this like poster that I made of a whole bunch of different disappointed looking people, and I made a crowd and just stuck it on the wall out there.
And then just kept at it until the point where you felt you could actually take the poster down. Huh?
Well, I would record. I would just like title them like, you know, Garage Night this, and then, you know, at the time we didn't have a dishwasher, so I would just put the earbuds in and wash the dishes, listening to me and like making notes on that's cringe, that's not bad. Hey, you're on to something there, and then rereading those notes and listening to it, it's like, okay, and sort of like finding out where I could slack on the guitar to get more complex lyricism in.
Uh-huh.
And now I would say now I can write a song, hear it and bang it out. But
yeah,
Yeah, I wish I would have started that at 14 too. This singing is definitely, I still feel like a real rookie at playing and singing at the same time.
Yeah. So you've played with bands in the past and you've been doing solo for a while now. Mm-hmm. Are you comfortable continuing with solo? Would you like to play some in bands?
I'm just recently started working with a drummer, and what I love about playing with a drummer is it gives the context of the song structure, because a lot of times, you know, some of the there's more complicated stuff in what I do, and I hear it, like I hear the 4/4 or the odd time signature. But unless you've really listened to the stuff, I think some of my stuff can kind of make people get lost, where I think a drummer would kind of add that context of, no, we're not going anywhere crazy.
Right.
It's just, right. It's getting attention.
It's not straight up 4/4, but it's not, you know, I'm not changing out of every bar or anything like that, so.
Well, I tend to kind of keep everything like it could be 4/4, but it also could be 3/4, or it could be, you know, 6-ish. But if you really wanted to tuck it back into 4/4, you could.
Yeah.
Again, that's probably like the Soundgarden influence. I don't think about, now I'm going to write an odd time signature. I write and it's like, that sounds the way I want to play it. I'm sure that's straight off 4/4. Oh, well.
Yeah.
That is what it is, because that's right.
That's the sound that came out of your head.
I have a clear sense of the arrangement, like, pretty much right out of the gate. Like, okay, that's, I can hear where the melodies, you know, kind of go a little into more, I like tension. I like just having like the, not quite dissonance, but if it does get dissonant, okay, there's the resolve. Just hang on a second.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that's always been the fun of music for me, is like a kind of like, this could train wreck.
Yeah.
Oh no, they saved it. That's nice.
I think, particularly live music, you know, watching bands that are not any performers that, you know, they didn't just go and they don't go up there and just kind of replay the album or the recordings that they've done. It's like, you know, you hear some new stuff and you hear them like, maybe I'll push the envelope here. And yeah, it's like once in a while, the wheels might come off, but, if they don't, you know, sometimes I think it gets really interesting.
Well, and that's mainly why I've put out the music that I have, is because they're not demo quality, but they're demonstrations of, that's like one aspect of how that song could look. But I also know from being a musician for years that songs really get good after you've recorded them, after they're done. And so these are kind of like, because like that the terrible quote by the Spotify CEO it said that, you know, you can't expect to make money putting out an album every 3 to 4 years. You need to create more content. And it's like, well, it could have worded that better. And I'm like, so this is an introduction. If you like the stuff that I'm putting out now, when the full realization, they're going to be on vinyl eventually, you're going to really like where it goes.
Because,
like, you know, like that, the first song, Feel Good Hit, the one that's on Spotify, that ending isn't there. The ending's instrumental. Hmm. And I kind of go back and forth, like, which one do I like? It's like, well, I'm just going to put this one out and play with this one, and you know, and there's, you know, there's different phrasings that I'm playing with, and that's the beauty of it. That's kind of, to me, it's like, that's the scary part of just saying, like, this one's done.
Right.
Is because the second you say that, then you're like, oh, I should have done. But I kind of, you know, I'm not afraid of that. Right. Like, I'm not.
It's kind of like Schrodinger's cat, right? You open you open the box of the recording studio and you put a microphone in there, and it's like, well, that's what it is. But it's what it is for now. It's not like you can't just close the box and wait for a year or two and then open it again and see if something different pops out, right?
Yeah. It's like, not like remixing the thing or not just right. Like ad nauseum, you know, tweaking on something, but. I think that's the fun of being the songwriter and kind of making your own little Schrodinger box where it's like, all right, it's not a dead cat.
Right. It's
a good one.
Yeah, that's cool.
Let's take the cat out, play with it for
a bit. Play with it a while, yeah. Put it back in the box, let it take a nap for a while. Throw some kibble in there and see what happens next time.
I think if you don't put it out, though, then it dies.
Yeah.
If you don't put out what you've got and you keep waiting for either the best version or a better song, it just...
Yeah.
I don't know. Now's not the time to contract. I always feel like expansion's the better.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, that's an interesting... Just a viewpoint on the music is like... Going into it with the idea that there is no best version of the song, right?
Right.
It's maybe not limitless, but it's a spectrum of possibilities. And some days, any particular listener might listen, and some days it might be this one is, you know, that's the one I think is better.
Yeah.
Maybe some other day it would be a different one. So, you know, just kind of approaching it like that.
How many times have we, like, gone and seen a solo act and you get the album and it's like, this full band thing, and it's like, I really just liked him.
Yeah, no, Can I go back to that?
Sweating and fighting with. I think that's one of those moments where it was like, gosh, if I could ever pull off that level of guitar playing and that level of singing, was like the first time I saw Colin Hay perform. He was the lead singer of Men at Work.
Yeah.
But his solo stuff is fantastic, and he's a monster on the guitar, and he just could, I mean, I don't think I'm there, but it's like, it doesn't seem impossible.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like striving to do what he does, but it's like, I would love to be able to do my fancy guitar stuff and sing well over it. And I think I'm like scratching that surface.
Getting there. Approach, yeah. Cool. Wonder if you want to maybe play a couple more.
Sure. This one is, this one's called Forecast.
Silence, you know you
stop the violence fermenting in silence. You know you can't.
Next one's called Marigolds, and it's about gardening or toxic relationships, depending on how you interpret the lyrics.
Marigolds to keep you away, dear. this ring around the house is a defensive perimeter. It's beautiful, it keeps you away. I'm planting marigolds to keep you away, dear. I'm planting marigolds to keep you away. Now this ring around the house is a defensive perimeter. It's beautiful because it keeps you away. So whatever grows is mine, reaping what I've sown, multiplied by the unknown. It's my neck on the line, and these boundaries you now face will remain in their place until I decide it's time to let you in or move you along.
Man, I love that.
Thanks. That's a good pun.
That opening line, it cracked me up. Planting marigolds to keep you away, dear.
That was one of those waking up at 2 a.m. moments where it's like, I don't really want to get up, but I will not remember that. That first part just was like all in one fell swoop. And then those little, the reaping and sowing, that was just more, that took a bit of work.
Fill it in and yeah. So, in case you're just joining us, wow, time has been flying. You are tuned to KGV in Bozeman, and this is the Local Musician Spotlight. We're in the studio here tonight with Quiet Local. Popped over the hill from Livingston to talk music and play some tunes for us tonight. And so, I've been kind of curious for people that are songwriters in particular about how things have gone in the last few months with the coronavirus and everything. Do you think it's had much of an effect on the way you write songs or the things you're writing?
I try hard to avoid like topical stuff because I mean I've been around long enough to know that like you go through something, you have one perspective. You know, the media will spin it a completely different way, and then facts or other information will come years later, and then it's another thing, and it's just like, you know, writing so assuredly of, you know, letting this Schrodinger cat out of the bag.
That's right.
I don't know, because I guess I've seen it, my opinions change so many times over my life that, you know, it's more, I think it's just too hard to even get a grasp of what's happening right now, like, you know, on any spectrum.
That's true. The prevailing mood, has that?
You know, I think, let's see, it like really kind of picked up around here sometime in March. I remember, like I got to open up for Cleo, Toll, and Double Wide at the Attic. And that was just kind of like, for me personally, it felt like, okay, maybe some traction is actually starting to happen. And because the Attic is a gorgeous venue. And that whole, I don't know, I guess I got to play with Sean Devine and Mercedes. And that was, for me, that was just really fun. And really sweet of them to, take a chance on, like, ladies and gentlemen, here's completely left of center, like this. And but there was also, like, the Facebook concerts kind of turned into, like, a real thing, and I've made some connections with other musicians that I've never met. Like, there's I think the Buddy Duke is down in Arizona, and he's just a fun, groovy guy. And there's there was a COVID concert series group that was run out of Idaho, and you know, there's a lot of there was, like, a lot of effort putting into, like, don't lose hope, don't lose steam.
Right.
And so for me, that was kind of fun. You know, and then we had a baby in January, and so the house concerts, like doing them at home, that was a lot of fun. And more recently, like, that's had to slow down just because they grow up. They're not just like
just kind of lay there.
Yeah. Then they get mobile. But you know, it's so much fun raising kids. Then there was, again, you know, it's like talking about Spotify. I got swooped up onto some playlist that was, so, like, the distributor that I go through is DistroKid, and they have kind of this, like, it's not gambling, but there's, like, a spin the wheel, and it sort of, like, determines your place on the playlist.
Uh-huh.
Well, this guy, Greg, who made this Best of the Wheel, he was like, there's too many good artists that are just getting, like, bumped, because you're only on there for maybe 6-7 hours, and then you're kicked off. He was scouring with some people to, like, pick out what he thought was the best, and, like, he put, like, 4 of my songs on this short little playlist. And so July, where I put, like, honestly the least amount of effort I have since I started this, I saw, like, the, you know, the highest return on Spotify, like, you know, I think well over 1,000 streams just in the month of July alone. It might be pushing more than that.
Yeah.
Probably closer to 1,500. And it was like, that's why, I guess that's why the CEO might have said something of, like, you got to keep putting out content. I don't think he was meaning flood the market with your garbage.
Right.
Flood the market with your throwaway stuff. But again, he could have said it better.
Yeah, he definitely could have. I mean, you know, I thought that was a little interesting because, you know, I'm kind of older, and I have a way that I think about music and stuff. But so, you know, I think back, and it's like, you know, I didn't and wasn't able to go out and look for brand new stuff all the time. I bought some albums and I listened to them until they, you know, played the grooves off of them, or, you know, wore out the 8-track of AC/DC 12 times or something, you know? And so I heard that and I was like, well, that's a little weird, but, I'm discounting the fact that there are a lot of people that didn't do that, and I think they probably are looking for kind of a more quickly evolving thing. They have a lot more choices, and maybe they don't want to just listen to the same song over and over again. So, you know, he probably knows a lot more about this than I do, for sure. So I think, you know, maybe that was a good point. I think the delivery was,
I think,
cringeworthy, but
very cringeworthy. I thought another great songwriter over in the Livingston area, Audrey Hall, put out a, well, why not kick out some money to help, like, with recording? Like,
yeah,
what if there was some kind of program? And I thought that's a much better solution than just keep making, because it's, you know, Spotify is sort of a social media platform, but I think they could be great if they just doubled down on being a great music platform.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, that's wishful thinking, though. I mean, they just spent, you know, $130 million to get a podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, that's like 2 billion streams.
Right, yeah. It's well, crazy.
Unless you're Michael Jackson, you're probably not going to get 2 billion streams.
That's right. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, and like I said, it's something that sometimes I forget is that, you know, things evolve and people's tastes and just the ways that they listen to music, with the ways that they consume it, do change. And so, that was good. I do think that it's probably, I would guess for a lot of musicians, it's probably more satisfying to not just do some stuff and like make it and just quit. Sometimes I get surprised by that. Like big, you know, popular artists, and you know, they'll turn out several albums and then it's just kind of, and that's the end. I'm like, man, it seems kind of weird to me. It's like,
yeah, well, and there was the weird like early 2000s where it finally got affordable to make a CD, but then you'd end up with 942 under your bed.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. And I think you do have to put in way more work as a musician. Like you have to really understand like Instagram posts and Facebook posting and timing. It's like I don't know. I think algorithm should be taught in in elementary school.
That's right.
You know, and the rules keep changing, which I think is good because that keeps people on their toes. And sometimes you get some of the best new explorations happening when, you know, everyone's dancing.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think anybody really wants to settle into disco for a decade.
Right. I mean, your lips to God's ears. Got time for one more, I guess, if you want to.
Sure. This one's called Even Now.
Now some are waking, yeah.
All right. We've been in the KGVM studios tonight for the local musician spotlight with Quiet Local. And thanks much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.